We're going to read Genesis 17, verse 1 to 8. So either follow along on the screen or you can turn up in your own Bible. Genesis 17, verse 1 to 8. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God."
Well, good evening from me, and welcome to another evening PM sermon. If you've been following along the last couple of weeks, you'll know that we've just finished our series looking at the I am statements that Jesus makes in the book of John. And I hope you've joined me in really appreciating and just enjoying looking at Jesus from all of these different angles. He's so many different sort of ways we can behold him and learn more about him and love him more as a result of that. And we're going to be starting a new series from this evening, which kind of carries on this scenic tour looking at God and who he is. And we're going to be doing that this time by looking at the different names that there are for God in the scriptures. And I'm going to be starting us off tonight. So I'm going to pray as we start. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to open up your word. We thank you that this is your word and that you are a speaking God who reveals yourself to us. Thank you for this name, El Shaddai, that we're going to be looking at. And I pray that you would show us and teach us what it means and how we ought to behold you as a result. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said in the prayer, the first name we're going to be looking at tonight is El Shaddai, which is translated in our Bibles as God Almighty, El Shaddai. And it's a fascinating name because it's only used seven times in the whole Bible. The word Shaddai is used plenty of times, which just means Almighty. You'll see that as you read the scriptures. But his name, El Shaddai, God Almighty, there's only seven instances. Yahweh, in contrast, is used 6,823 times. And what's really interesting about this name is that before God gave his name Yahweh to Moses in the book of Exodus, God appears to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as El Shaddai. Listen to this. In Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, God says to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, El Shaddai. But by my name, the Lord, Yahweh, I did not make myself fully known to them." It's quite interesting that, isn't it? So what does El Shaddai, God Almighty, mean? Why did he only appear to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as El Shaddai with that name? And what can we, you and I, learn from knowing this name about God? Those are the three questions that I'm going to be looking at tonight. What does El Shaddai mean? Why did he only appear to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob with that name? And what can we, you and I, take away from knowing that name? So, first of all, get straight into it. What does El Shaddai, God Almighty, mean? Well, I think it is worth doing a whistle-stop sort of tour through the remaining six verses to see them in context, because there are only six other verses. And as we do, we'll see that all of them are in the context of God speaking. Five of them are in Genesis and are about God making a covenant promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to greatly increase their numbers. We had Genesis chapter 17 read to us. And they're a covenant that they would increase in numbers and be fruitful so that they would become a nation. And the sixth mention is kind of a bonus one thrown in the book of Ezekiel, which we'll see. And all of them paint a picture of a God who is mighty to do, as he says. This is not a God who talks the talk but doesn't walk the walk. His talking is his walking. What he says goes. If he has spoken, then that is what is. It reminds me a bit of a character called Queel in the new Star Wars TV show, The Mandalorian. If you've seen it, you'll know. And if you haven't, don't worry too much. But all you need to know about this character is that what he says goes. So if he says something, there's no point arguing. There's no point coming up with an alternative idea. And he's got this little line that he repeats a few times where he just says, "I have spoken." And then he sort of walks off. And that's it. End of conversation. There's no point trying to come up with anything else. He is the final say. No one can undo what he said because he has spoken. And it's the same with God. When he speaks, that's the way it's going to be. If you know Genesis chapter 1, we see in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. When God speaks, it happens. In that moment when God said, "Let there be light," light had no other option but to exist. He is almighty. He has spoken. And that's the picture that we're going to see of El Shaddai. So let's have a look at these verses in the Bible. The first mention, as we had read, is in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, which says, "When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, 'I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers.'" So we have God who appears to Abraham and he establishes this covenant between himself and Abraham. Abraham must walk faithfully with God and God will increase his numbers. Now verse 17 reads, "Abraham fell face down. He laughed and he said to himself, 'Will a son be born to a man of 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Verse 19, "Then God said, 'Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him.'" So God appears and he speaks to Abraham. And in the face of a natural impossibility, a man of 100 years old and a woman of 90 years old, he declares he's going to have descendants after him. He says, "I am El Shaddai. I will greatly increase your numbers. It will be so because I have said so, and I am almighty." And then, true to God's word, Abraham does have a son, Isaac, and then Isaac is the father of Jacob. And so the second mention of El Shaddai is in Genesis 28, which says, "So Isaac called for Jacob and blessed him. Then he commanded him, 'Do not marry a Canaanite woman. Go at once to Padam Aram, to the house of your mother's father, Bethuel. Take a wife yourself there from among the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty, El Shaddai, bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples.'" So here is Isaac speaking to Jacob, and he says, "May El Shaddai bless you and make you fruitful." Because he's the Almighty One who's promised that he would, so would he do it? And then thirdly, Genesis 35, verse 11, God appears to Jacob and says, "I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among your descendants." Again, this message is trustworthy because it comes from the one who acts as he speaks. When he says, "Let there be light," there is light. He's spoken. When he says, "Let there be fruitfulness," then there is fruitfulness. He's El Shaddai, God Almighty, to do as he says. Fourthly, in Genesis 43, we see Jacob, now called Israel. He's giving a benediction to his sons as they're about to go off to Egypt. And without getting into the story, he's basically fearful for his youngest son's life, Benjamin. So he says in verse 14, "And may God Almighty, El Shaddai, grant you mercy before the man so that he will let your other brother and Benjamin come back with you." So Would El Shaddai, the one who has spoken his promises that a nation will be born from his sons, would he have mercy and ordain that Benjamin comes back alive? He can do it because he has spoken and he said he would. So would he be merciful and deliver him? Then finally, fifthly, in Genesis 48, we see Jacob, now an old man and about to die, blessing his grandchildren. Verse 3 says, Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty, El Shaddai, appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan. And there he blessed me and said to me, I'm going to make you fruitful and increase your numbers. I will make you a community of peoples, and I will give you this land as an everlasting possession to your descendants after you. And then literally, if you just turn your Bibles a few pages later, in Exodus chapter 1, verse 6, we see all of God's promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob fulfilled. Chapter 1, verse 6 of Exodus says this, Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died, but the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly and increased in numbers and became so numerous that the land was filled with them. So do you see, El Shaddai, the one who has spoken, brings about his purposes. And there can be no other alternative. Let there be light, there is light. Let there be fruitfulness, and there is fruitfulness. And did you notice, there is exceeding fruitfulness. This is not a government sort of scraping past its target, you know, fudging the numbers to make it look like they've completed what they set out to do. There is exceeding fruitfulness here. He's El Shaddai, the Almighty One. He fulfills his promises. And so those are the mentions in Genesis. And the final mention of El Shaddai in the whole Bible is in Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 3. And this is the bonus one that's kind of thrown in. And it's describing the sound of the wings of the cherubim in the temple in the presence of the glory of God. So don't worry too much about the details of this quote. But this is what it says. Now the cherubim were standing on the south side of the temple when the man went in, and a cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord rose from above the cherubim and moved to the threshold of the temple. The cloud filled the temple, and the court was full of the radiance of the glory of the Lord. And then this is the bit. The sound of the wings of the cherubim could be heard as far away as the outer court, like the voice of God Almighty, El Shaddai, when he speaks. The sound of the cherubim's beating wings in the presence of the glory of the Lord were thunderous and inescapable, like the voice of El Shaddai when he speaks. When El Shaddai speaks, his word thunders to every corner of the universe. There was no part of the outer court that could not hear the beating of the wings of the angels. And there is no corner of the universe that did not hear and obey the command, let there be light. El Shaddai, the Almighty, says, I have spoken. And so he appears to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as El Shaddai, with his covenant promise to make them into a father of a great nation. You know, and it will happen because he has said so, and he is the Almighty. So El Shaddai, the Almighty One. And very briefly, if you just look at the etymology, the root word of the Hebrew word Shaddai, then it continues to build the picture up a little bit. So one of the words that Shaddai may have come from is overpowerer, or the one who overcomes, the one who overpowers. And we see that in verses like, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this, which speaks to this Almighty God who's not going to be stopped when he wants to do something. He will overcome, he will overpower, he will do his will. And secondly, it might also, Shaddai, come from the word for breast, which speaks to the kind of all-sufficiency of God. You know, he's the one who's the life-giver, the provider. And particularly in the context of the promises he makes to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to sort of bring forth this nation, bear this nation into fruition, then that's, I think both of those are quite helpful things to build up this picture. And so with all those things in mind, the El Shaddai I have spoken, the overpowerer, the life giver, I think when you hold all of that and you can see all of that, I think it's easier to answer the next question, isn't it? Why did God only appear as El Shaddai to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob? This is my second point. Why did he only appear as El Shaddai to these men? And I think the short answer is because it was enough for them. You know, when Moses came later and the people needed delivering, then God makes himself fully known as Yahweh. Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. God says to Moses, I am the Lord, Yahweh, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. So now that the nation has been established, they need El Shaddai to save them, to deliver them. And so like Gandalf, as he approaches Saruman, as he approaches Theoden, who's possessed by Saruman, as he approaches him as Gandalf the Grey, but when he reaches him, he throws off his grey cloak and says, I am Gandalf the White. So God says, I am El Shaddai, but you know, I'm Yahweh. I am the God who saves. I am the God who is mighty to speak and to do. I am the God who saves as well. But for Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, El Shaddai was enough. In Hebrews chapter 11, we see by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons. We see that there was enough in El Shaddai, God Almighty, the all-sufficient one, the one who speaks and who makes a covenant for them to believe and to have faith. Listen to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 again. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Now, why did Abraham reason that God could bring Isaac back from the dead? Is it because he had some kind of supernatural foresight of the cross of Christ and of the resurrection of the dead? Well, no. It's because God had spoken. He had said that it would be through Isaac that his offspring would be reckoned. And so if God wants to suddenly sacrifice him, then God must be able to bring him back from the dead because God has said that it will be through Isaac that his offspring will be reckoned. Abraham had faith in El Shaddai. And in Genesis 32, Jacob is frightened because he thinks his brother Esau is coming to destroy him. And it's a strange, slightly soap opera kind of bit of story. And Jacob ends up wrestling with God one night. And I haven't got time again to go into this particular story. But Jacob and God are wrestling at night until sunrise. And then in Genesis 32, verse 26, God says this. Let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? It's interesting, isn't it? What would God have said then? Would he have said Yahweh? But he doesn't. Then he blessed him there. So here is Jacob. He's afraid of his brother and he's wrestling with God. And he refuses to let God go unless he blesses him. So why is God's blessing the most important thing in the world right now for him? It's because he knows that this is El Shaddai. And if El Shaddai blesses him, then he will be blessed. If he speaks, then it will be so. He will be protected from his brother if El Shaddai protects him from his brother. I will not let you go, El Shaddai, unless you bless me. So, for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, El Shaddai, the Almighty One, the Overpowerer, the Life Giver, was enough. Was more than enough for them to have faith. And God reveals everything we need at the right time, and so he appeared to them at that time as El Shaddai. So thirdly then, what about us? You know, what does it mean for you and I to behold God as and know him as Shaddai, El Shaddai? Well, actually, we are in the privileged position of knowing Yahweh Shaddai. You'll recognize the phrase, the Lord God Almighty, from Scripture. It says a lot. And that is the Lord, Yahweh, Almighty, Shaddai. Yahweh Shaddai. You know, all that El Shaddai is, but even more. He's the Almighty God who saves. The Almighty God who's personal. The Almighty God who is Trinity, a Godhead. So there are still things that we can learn from his Shaddai-ness that we can apply to our lives. And I've got a couple of things for us to apply. First of all, El Shaddai, the overcomer. So often in life we feel like we are being overcome, don't we? You know, how many sins do we battle away with day in, day out, and constantly fail, and we constantly struggle? And so often we feel like just giving up because we've been battling away for years and we feel like we've made millimeters of progress. Sometimes the walls just feel like they're closing in around us. But Jesus says, take heart, because I have overcome the world. The cross, for all of its scorn and shame, was the very place of victory for God. It looked like the world had overcome him. Here he is dying, weak, pathetic. But actually, it was God's sovereign and unassailable plan that Jesus would go to the cross to die in our place for our sins and to be raised to life again. When things looked at their worst, God was overcoming the world. And so if we belong to Jesus, then we belong to the overcomer. You know, and that means that we will never be overcome. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. The world can do its worst against us now. In fact, Satan can do his worst against us now. But Jesus is the one who gives us victory, even over death. In fact, in all these things, we're more than conquerors because of Jesus Christ. In Jesus, we have one who's overcome the world on our behalf. So what is it in your life that you feel is overpowering you, is overcoming you? Is it work or stress or anxiety or depression or illness? Is it sin and temptations? Is it financial burdens? Whatever it is, take shelter in El Shaddai, the Almighty One who overcomes. Secondly, El Shaddai, the promise keeper. The promise keeper. El Shaddai is a covenant God. He makes promises between himself and his people. And his promises are based, thankfully, not on our ability to be faithful to him, but on his faithfulness to us. And because he is a faithful God, he's a promise keeper. You know, God had every reason, didn't he, to throw the towel in on his project nation Israel. You know, okay, fair enough. We got off to quite a good start with Abraham. Yeah, I'll give you that. But by the time we get to Jacob, I mean, my goodness me, what a troublemaker he was. He steals his brother's birthright, steals his brother's blessing, has to run away because he thinks he's going to be murdered, goes to his uncle, gets played by his uncle, but then plays his uncle back, and then has to run away from him too. Everywhere Jacob goes, he burns bridges. You know, it's not exactly the type of stellar, standout, upright character you want to build a nation on, is it? And then when we get to his sons, who are the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel. You know, these are the establishers, the fathers, the pillars of the faith. 10 of them hate their brother and want to kill him. This is the most dysfunctional family you can imagine. Why on earth would God continue with his covenant to these pitiful, evil, troublemaking, imperfect people? Because he's a promise-keeping God. And so you and I can be sure that if El Shaddai has said, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean, then you will be clean indeed. We can be sure that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us as our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We can be sure that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We can be sure because El Shaddai is the author of those promises. And El Shaddai always keeps his promises. Did you notice how his promises are always good? I will bless you, he says. I will make you fruitful. These aren't kind of promises we need to be afraid of. These are good promises. And what a comfort is it to know that the Almighty, the one who has sovereign power and who acts as he speaks, is the one who wants to bless you. So, do you feel like you constantly mess up? Do you feel like you don't deserve God's forgiveness? You know, maybe this time you've gone too far. Or perhaps you don't see how you can ever live the kind of life that you want to, that you know you ought to. El Shaddai is a promise keeper. Not because of your faithfulness to him, but because of his faithfulness to you. So that's the second thing. El Shaddai, he's a promise keeper. Thirdly, and final application for us. He is El Shaddai, so walk before him faithfully. God is not merely an isolated God just with a sort of title, like he's the most almighty, sort of up there. He's not someone who simply wants to be worshipped from a distance. He reveals himself to Abraham and he says, I am El Shaddai, walk before me faithfully and be blameless. He's a God of relationship. He's our sustainer, he's our overcomer, not just in order to show off, but in order that we would be able to walk with him, to walk before him. You know, most of the references in the rest of scripture about Shaddai are this. This is what the Lord Almighty says. This is what the Lord Almighty says. He wants to speak to us. He wants us to hear him, to listen to him, to be in communion with him. So do you kind of come to this once a week? You know, you open your laptop, you turn your TV on, you get your phone out, watch the service, and then when it's done, you turn God off again for another week. Or do you walk before him in this world? Do you walk before in the light of his faithfulness to you? Do you walk before him in the light of his presence in you? Do you walk before him in the light of listening to what he says? Because he's a speaking God and wants to speak to you. Look, we struggle. We're not perfect. But that is why he is the promise keeper. So the question is, do you even walk before him at all in repentance and faith? He is El Shaddai. He is the Almighty. He is the overcomer. He is the promise keeper. He is the sustainer. He's the one who speaks and wants a relationship with you. So do you want a relationship with him? Do you want to walk with him? I am El Shaddai, God says. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. So, wrapping all that up, my parting shot to you is, will you walk before him all the days of your life? You might fall, but if you do, look at Jacob and his sons and see how God is faithful to his people even when they're not faithful to him. You might sometimes doubt, but look again at what the Almighty has done throughout history when he has said he would do it. And you might be longing, just you're dry, you're parched, you're just longing for God to say anything to you. Well, then open up the scriptures. Hear the sound like the cherubim's wings in the presence of the glory of God. I am El Shaddai, walk before me faithfully. Would you commit? Would you commit, recommit to doing that, walking before Yahweh Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty, the one who has said, I have spoken. Perhaps just take a minute now to reflect, think about some of those things, pray them through, and then in a minute I will close by praying. Father, we thank you for revealing yourself to us at all. Thank you because without that, we would not know you. We would not know what you're like. We would not know what to do. We would not know how to be saved. Thank you for this name that you revealed yourself as to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, El Shaddai. Thank you for all that it means that you are the overcomer, that you have overcome the world on our behalf. Thank you that it means you're the sustainer and the life giver. Thank you that it means you're the promise keeper. Help us to trust you, to walk in the light of who you are, and help us to be faithful to you, because you're faithful to us. In Jesus' name, amen.